Today is September 4th, 2013, and this is episode number 220 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, Managing Editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, future Microsoft CEO. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to question or comment on anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
Word on the street is you've already got the voice down, so you're a shoo-in for CEO.
Hey, everybody! I don't even know whose voice that was.
It's the voice of the future CEO of Microsoft. God bless America.
That's it. Oh, good Lord. And as much as they may end up regretting it, this episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
They're brave people and nice, too.
Yeah, we're excited to have a sponsor again.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that, though.
Right. But first, we have exciting news.
Yeah, things to talk about.
Right.
Because that's what we do. We talk about, and get this, people listen.
Yeah. Wow.
They make a choice. They actually have to go through steps.
See, this is how I know. Listen. This is how I know these people aren't actually my family. Because they listen.
That's very, very, very funny and true for all of us, no doubt.
Yeah, I need another drink. But I digress.
Let's talk about Microsoft and Nokia.
Yeah, that seems like a good place to start. So
Microsoft
announced right around Labor Day that they are buying Nokia's phone business. and so the deal is they're spending, it's like $7.5 billion. $5 billion is for the
it's like 5.2, right?
Yeah.
And okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So so 5-ish billion is going to pay for the phone business. From Nokia,
the hardware handset business.
Yeah, the hardware handset business, and then the other $2.5-ish billion is going to license their patent portfolio, the Nokia patent portfolio.
Because Nokia has a huge patent portfolio, and they also, you know, I think especially here in the West, we tend to know Nokia as the handset maker,
right.
But they have this huge network infrastructure business as well.
Right. And now they, well, soon, won't have a handset business.
Right. And they're getting out of the handset business, obviously. And my first crack about this was that I think this deal makes a lot of sense for Nokia.
For Nokia, yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, for the rest of this episode, we will probably alternate between Nokia and Nokia.
Yeah, it will just be a random thing.
It'll be totally random. And I think it's actually Nokia, but I don't actually know. And I know that I tend to call them Nokia.
Well, I've seen a video from the company, I think, where they pronounce it Nokia.
Oh, that's right.
So let's throw that in there, too. So we have Nokia, Nokia, and Nokia. We use all of those interchangeably.
Yeah, fair enough. That works for me. And so part of this deal, your crack, won't you? Please, give us your crack.
My crack is that Microsoft spent $5 billion to buy a new CEO, and a cell phone company was thrown in on the side.
By the way, those are real thunder effects. I'm not adding those in post. Jeff has some practical effects.
I have some pretty hardcore practical effects going on all around me right now.
But you're a professional and you record.
Yeah, well, I love our listeners.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's actually talk about this darn business. So they're getting Stefan? Is it Stefan? It's probably Stefan, isn't it?
I think it's pronounced Nokia Elop. No, wait.
Stefan Elop is the CEO of Nokia,
mm-hmm.
and he is a former Microsoft executive.
Right.
And he did such a great job with Nokia that he's had to sell the company. And it's really interesting. Microsoft, this is part of Steve Ballmer's goal of turning Microsoft into a devices and services company and not just a software company. And so to achieve that, he's going to buy a company that has failed in the hardware business and take back an executive who very may well be the next CEO of Microsoft after he failed at Nokia.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. And don't get me wrong. Nokia is a great company. They did a lot of really good and interesting things a long time before Apple got into the business. Of course, they weren't doing it all that well, and that's why Apple was able to be so disruptive. But
sure.
Before Apple showed the world the way to really do this stuff, Nokia was making great products. They still sell a ton of feature phones. Of course, no one makes any money on feature phones, but that's
maybe that's part of the problem.
That is part of the problem. They sell all these feature phones. They're still very popular in Asia and in parts of Europe. But of course, you know, the world is moving to smartphones, and no one really makes any money on feature phones in the first place. And supposedly, Microsoft sees the feature phone business, which they're getting along with the smartphone business. They see this as a way of introducing Microsoft services to the low end of the market. I mean, this is going to be
what could possibly go wrong?
Microsoft is going to end up turning Nokia into a
Microsoft
billion-dollar-a-year business.
Yeah, they're going to palm Nokia, just like HP palmed Palm.
This gets told in a lot of different settings, but it's like, how do you make $1 million in real estate, or how do you make $1 million as a writer? How do you make $1 million as a, you know, whatever?
First, you find someone with $1 million. Am I close?
You're close, but the usual punchline is start with $10 million or start with $100 million.
Oh, see, that's more clever, but I still like mine.
Yeah. And I think that's what's going to happen with this. I mean, you know, I don't.
Well, Nokia hasn't been able to really get a strong foothold in the smartphone market with their Lumia Windows smartphone.
Despite the fact that they're really good devices, they look great. Matter of fact, outside of Apple's iPhone designs, I think that the Lumia series, except for the big giant camera one,
mm-hmm.
which I think that one's a mistake, but that's beside the point. I think that the really good looking hardware, I think they're certainly better than anything Samsung offers. It's at least as good as the HTC One, which I also think is an excellent looking device, and it's as good looking as the iPhone 5. I mean, it doesn't
matter. People don't want to buy it.
No, they don't.
It doesn't matter how good it is or what specs – or good it looks or what specs it has. People aren't interested in buying it. Nokia, none of those companies have been able to figure out how to get people really interested in the Lumia line.
No, they haven't. And this is despite Microsoft advertising for them and Nokia itself advertising. In my opinion – Nokia's big problem was not going with Android. They should have gone with Android as a replacement for Symbian, which is their former proprietary smartphone OS.
I agree. I think going Android would have been a much better choice.
They should have forked it. They should have taken Android and forked it and done interesting things with it, because they had the software talent.
Right. And instead what they did was they took Microsoft's phone operating system.
And a bunch of money for Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Holy crap, they're really smart, actually. That was really smart. Because what they did was they got Microsoft to give them a lot of money.
Right.
And then after they took all that money, They said, why don't you give us more money and we'll just give you this part of the company.
And we'll just give
you. And we'll give you CEO to go along with it. And now Nokia gets to walk away with all that money. And they just offloaded what right now looks like their biggest burden, which was their smartphone business.
Right.
That was really smart.
Their handset business, including those feature phones.
Yeah.
And, you know, what they're left with is a very valuable patent portfolio. Microsoft didn't buy that portfolio. They bought
they got licenses to it.
Yeah, they got a license to that portfolio, which they need, of course. You know, you can't buy Nokia's hardware business without also buying all the patents that go into that hardware business. So that had to happen.
Right.
And, you know, they're left with the very profitable and successful infrastructure part of their business, which should be really good for them. This should be an excellent move, like I said, for Nokia. But so,
and they offloaded Stephen Elop at the same time.
Yeah, you know, that guy, he may be.
No, he's not. He chose to go with Windows instead of Android for the Lumia series. So no, he's not.
I think he was tasked with that. I think that was part and parcel of Microsoft investing in the company to begin with.
Well, nonetheless.
But yeah, no, you got a good point. I don't know. We'll see what he can do. But here's the interesting thing. First of all, Steve Ballmer is retiring, as we know. And he's done this reorganization. He's going to be gone within 11 months, supposedly.
I think he's going to be gone within two.
If Steven's taken over, then yeah, for sure. Two or three.
And I think he is.
And he's making all these changes, of course, that the next CEO is going to live with. Again, if that's Stephen Elop, that's probably okay. But in the meanwhile, Microsoft is wanting to have its cake and eat it too. It wants to be the open licensing company where it licenses Windows Phone and Windows, the desktop PC OS. Wow. Nice.
My desk kind of rumbled a little bit on that one.
Yeah, you can cut out for a second. That's fun. Practical Effects by Jeff Gamet.
I should probably unwind my leg from my max power cord just to be safe.
That would probably be a good idea. So they want to be the open licensing company, and they want to make hardware devices too, like, you know, more Surfaces, yay, and continue with the Lumia line and that sort of thing. And they need to poop or get off the pot. And they need to what I'm thinking is that Microsoft needs to embrace a one company, two policies, two systems kind of thing, kind of like China with its one country, two systems. And they need to continue with the desktop legacy business as is, where they license to PC makers the world over. And they need to take Windows Phone and the tablet business, and they need to make it whole widget proprietary only and stop licensing it and mm-hmm. and go whole hog or go all in with the whole widget model instead of trying to have their cake and eat it too, because that's going to end up being a drag and a burden, and it's going to end up in less innovative and less compelling products.
And I think the laundry list you just laid out is really good, and the sad thing is Microsoft is not going to take your advice.
And I've been offering it to them for months now, and they don't seem to pay attention. Well, I don't know. Steve's gone.
So that's a start. Yeah. Okay, so I think that what Microsoft will do is what we've discussed, which is they'll make their own gear, continue to license out their mobile operating system, and I think ultimately they will have a similar level of success that they've had with the Surface tablet, and maybe a little better than the Surface tablet, but then Microsoft already has a bad record with phones. How long was the Kin on the market?
Oh, Kin, I remember that.
Yeah, that's only because we have to follow this industry. Most people have no clue what that is, because it was like 2 weeks or something, if that?
Yeah, it was a few months.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But practically speaking, it might as well have been a couple of weeks. It was ridiculous. Yeah, Microsoft, again, don't get me wrong. The people at Nokia are smart and they're talented. And they've done a lot of really interesting things, even with Windows Phone. I think that Microsoft is going to take this $5 billion acquisition and turn it into something that's worth a billion.
I think you're right. I think that what Microsoft did when they bought Nokia's cell phone business was they signed its death warrant.
Yeah.
It's you know, as good as gone right now.
But if they're going to the problem is I want Microsoft to make devices. I just want them to be good devices. And I want Microsoft to be making the right choices, because I think that a competitive Microsoft will end up pushing Google and pushing Apple. We talked about that several times. I know you and I are in agreement on this thing. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not going to happen.
Microsoft
is competitive in other ways. And I don't think their competitive tactics will carry over well into this market.
This could be a great springboard for the company. This could be a shortcut for Microsoft becoming a whole widget powerhouse, but it won't, because they're going to continue to make all the wrong choices. Their execution is going to continue to be bad. They're going to continue to try to focus on propping up and perpetuating the desktop legacy. And it's going to – it's not going to end well.
You know, I think another thing that they need to do along with all of this, which they won't, is drop the Windows name from their mobile operating system.
Yeah. Yeah, if they went with a new name. Again, similar to what Apple did. Apple didn't call the phone the Mac phone. Call it the iPhone.
Right.
You know, and they called it was first called the iPhone OS, and it eventually became iOS, even though it's essentially the same operating system underneath the hood.
Yeah, it was brilliant the way Apple did that. And Microsoft needs to learn that you don't have to have the word Windows in every fracking product name.
Well, if having Windows in the name was any kind of benefit, that would be one thing. But the problem is they're not choosing it because it's a benefit. They're choosing it because they want to perpetuate the value of Windows. It's the wrong reason to do something. It's the wrong reason to make that choice. That's the problem. That's at the heart of why I think that this purchase of I'll go ahead and say it, Nokia. So I don't think I've gotten that one in yet. That's why this purchase is going to go nowhere.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
You know, look at the way that the smartphone market. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, because this could have been a fantastic opportunity for Microsoft, but I don't think they know how to take advantage of what they've just bought.
Mm-mm. God, especially keeping the feature phone business. You know what? They should, if Nokia said you have to buy the feature phone business, Microsoft has got enough money that they could have said okay and then killed it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, all right, fine, we'll buy it, you know, and we'll just bury it. Kind of like a record label signing a band that competes with another band that they've already invested in, just so that they can bury the contract. Which is evil, by the way, utterly evil. But it would be a better business choice.
Yeah, it definitely would have been a smart move. But that's not what we're going to get. What we'll get is the Microsoft Windows Lumia smartphone mobile interactive personal user experience device.
Well said. And on that note, let's actually move on to our next topic.
Oh, we have more topics.
We do have more topics. I, I want to save the Galaxy Gear for last. Let's talk about Apple's media events.
Okay, good, because that's where I figured we should go next. So Apple has announced officially that on September 10th, they will be hosting a media event. They're not saying what it is, just that the day will be brighter. So I'm assuming this means that Apple will be announcing that they're buying Philips Hue product line.
No. You know, that would actually work with the circles and the colors.
Yeah, it totally would.
The media invitations have these, you know, circles that are actually, of course, iOS 7 dynamic background circles, but in the colors of the leaked iPhone 5Cs that we've seen.
Yeah, and so we have all these pretty little bubble colors and circles. And we all know that it's going to be the iPhone 5S and iPhone 5C announcement. And we're both in agreement, especially now that I realized I did my math wrong, that September 20th will be the day that the phones hit stores.
Yes.
And we'll have iOS 7 before that.
Right. But here's the interesting thing that hit today.
Oh, do tell.
Well, you ended up covering it, so I'll give you the lead in, and you could tell us about it. But
all right, fair enough.
Apple also invited Chinese journalists to a separate event that'll be held roughly 10 hours or 8 or 9 hours later in China.
Right. So Apple is targeting China with their own special media event as a follow up to the one that they'll be doing in Cupertino. And what that tells me is that Apple really is serious about the market in China.
Never done this before.
Yeah,
they've never done this before. They've had actually, golly, when Apple used to still show up at like Macworld Paris,
good times.
Macworld London, did they ever do any kind of product launch there? Like even a minor software launch? They just have a booth.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. We're going back. We're going back many years, 10 years.
Right. And I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
Right. But that's, yeah, right. Yeah. So I was about to make this drug joke. It's ridiculous. It's a good thing I didn't mention it.
Yeah, that's lucky.
Yeah. So the point is this. Since we've entered the era of Apple launch events, especially the post-Macworld Apple launch events, Apple has never done a media event outside the U.S., and it has certainly never done two media events for the same products, and it's certainly never done a media event in China. And I am fascinated by this.
Yeah, so am I. And I think that first, Apple is doing this to let the Chinese market know that they're part of the family now, and that Apple really is looking for ways to actively embrace and pull in new iPhone customers in China.
Yeah. And to say that the Chinese market is important to Apple.
Yes. And I'm wondering if this also means that Apple has been able to swing a deal with China Mobile.
Well, that would be a reason to do this. But of course, the biggest reason to do this is, you know, we all know here, certainly in the States, but probably in all the English speaking world and most of the Western developed world, including Japan, Apple gets an undue amount of free publicity, free coverage from the press every time, you know, the company does anything.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine the amount of coverage that Apple is going to get from this move in China, because it is so unprecedented, because it is, you know, my impression as an outsider who reads about China and has never actually been there, but reads extensively about China, is that there's a lot of concern about getting the respect and having the reputation that China believes that it has earned or is owed. And
this would go a long way on Apple's part to show goodwill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that Apple is going to get, unless, of course, as part of the government's campaign against Apple in its political battle with the United States over companies being prohibited, Chinese companies being prohibited from certain crucial infrastructure markets within the United States out of a fear of backdoors, especially in wireless communications, land-based communications, that sort of thing. Unless the government media, which government-controlled media in China represents a lot of the total media coverage, unless there is a campaign against Apple to not mention this or to maybe even mention it in a despairing way, unless that's the case, this is going to be a huge windfall for Apple getting massive exposure.
You know, I suppose it's possible that the state-run media could spin this in a bad way, although I would be surprised if that happened.
Yeah, it seems like they would instead want to, and you know, again, I'm not an expert in China, but it seems like they instead would want to actually hype this up as, see, we really are important.
Yeah, yeah. This is something that China can spin as a positive for themselves.
Now, here's my question for you.
Okay.
Where will Tim Cook be?
That's a really good question.
Because he can't do both.
No, he can't.
Now, he physically can't do both, let alone whether or not he should try.
Well, if part of me says he will be in Cupertino, but...
So then who's going to be in China?
Yeah, I know. Who do they send to China? Because, oh my God, they sent Scott Forstall to China.
No, sir, they did not. But so, you know, there's enough going on. We have iOS 7 and we have new hardware, possibly new iPads, but I think you and I are both pretty.
Yeah,
pretty,
I'm thinking that's end of September, beginning of October.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we have roles for Phil Schiller. We have roles for Craig Federici. We have video appearances by Johnny Ive. Of course, he can be in videos in both countries.
Yes.
And then we have MC duties by Tim Cook. And you can't have all those people can't be at the same at both places. So I am just really interested in who's going to be where.
Yeah. If Tim Cook isn't on stage at the very beginning of the media event in Cupertino.
Yeah, he's in China.
Then he's in China. You're right.
No. And that would be...
That would be a big thing also.
It would be a huge thing. It would be a huge thing. I'd be interested to see how the West spins that.
Yeah.
How will we spin that? I don't even know how I'm going to think about that.
I guess we're going to both have to process that one come the 10th, if that's what happens. And I think if Tim does end up in China, then it really should be Johnny Ive that does the hosting here.
But he won't.
I know. But so now I have this total Max Headroom image of Johnny Ive on a TV doing the hosting thing. And they roll the TV out onto the stage.
Shikataka.
Yeah. Boom, and it'd be like, boom, hey, it's a new iPhone. Hey.
Boom.
Did you like Max Headroom when it was on?
I never watched the show. I saw snippets of the show.
I absolutely loved it.
Fair enough. But I did like the Art of Noise song.
Okay, yeah, that's cool, too.
They used him. Was that actually used in the show?
I don't even remember. But I do remember.
Because the show came before that song and the video.
Yeah.
Shikataka, shikataka.
Actually, I think the song you're thinking of was not Art of Noise. It was Yellow.
All right. Going to have to look it up.
All right.
Song with Max Headroom. Max Headroom, Paranoia by Art of Noise.
Oh, man.
Art of Noise featuring Max Headroom.
All right.
I win. Yay.
You win. But the fact that I could remember that much from that time period.
Yeah. Hats off, sir.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, who it's going to be is interesting to me. Can't wait to find out. Can't wait to find out. I expect Tim Cook to be here. I'm not going to be surprised if he's in China. I know that's really wishy-washy. But I'm thinking that someone like Craig Federighi or Phil Schiller will end up emceeing the China event.
Yes. It has to be top brass hosting that event. Otherwise, it will come off as a slight to China.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be a local executive.
I agree. It has to be one of the big names from Cupertino.
Yeah, the whole point here is to show the Chinese people, Chinese consumer, how important this market is to Apple. And it is important. It's a huge it represents a massive opportunity for growth that Apple does not have outside of China. Doesn't have it out, I mean, like anywhere else in the world. And well, I don't know, you could say India, but India has, there's, you know, it's going to be years before Apple can make any real headway in India.
True. And now I'm wondering, who is it that that's involved in coordinating Apple's flight plans,
mm-hmm.
that's going to leak to us who it is that's going to China?
That would be good to know.
Tips at MacObserver.com.
Well, yeah, who? I guess Steve's jet probably belongs to Lorraine now.
I would assume so.
But I would imagine that Apple could actually lease that from her or another Gulfstream. And
at a reasonable price, of course.
And fly Jeff over. Fly you over, too. Fly Tim over.
Yeah. If they want to fly me over so I can cover from there, I would take one for the team. And I would mm-hmm. do that long flight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tim, if you're heading over, give me a call.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know.
I'll throw an extra pair of socks in my bag and be on my way.
I'll get up early in the morning for you. Cover for you.
See, you rock.
Yeah.
And I know you, so I know what a big thing that was for you to say that you would get up early for me.
True.
Yeah.
So. Interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, we've talked all about the iPhone 5S and the 5C and stuff. You know, we unfortunately we know what's coming. It's going to be interesting to see. It's interesting to see how the China event unfolds. It's going to be interesting to see if Apple can't pull out some kind of surprise for us. If there is a surprise, I think it'll be, by the way, Authentech centered.
And Authentech is a company that does like fingerprint sensors, things like
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Fingerprint security and authentication.
Yeah. And so if that is the case, then that means that the rumors that say that the home button on the new iPhone will be a fingerprint sensor, Apple will at some point need to make a new product, which is the prosthetic iThumb, so that when someone's iPhone is stolen and then the thief cuts off their thumb so they can continue to use the phone, you're going to need a replacement thumb. Oh, and see, I say that in jest, but I've already been bracing myself for the first police report about a mugging where someone's thumb is taken as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's possible. Well, that's possible. Let's talk about brighter things, though. Let's talk about...
okay.
Let's go.
Let's talk about whales and puppy dogs.
Well, similar, at least. Let's go to a rapid-fire topic, and we'll start off with cue the stopwatch, SimCity.
And I was a SimCity player years ago and just kind of got out of it, but I'm betting this one interests you a little bit.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it. It was released for the Mac months later than the Maxis and EA, right?
Is it EA? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had originally said that they would release it, and months later than the PC version, but it is supposedly a native client. I say that because I'm not quite getting the performance out of it that I wish, but I am having a ton of fun with it. It's a lot of fun. There were some initial reports about the game not working at all for the Mac, and I didn't encounter any problems at all.
But for those people that did encounter problems, well, that was just Maxis making sure that you got the same full experience that PC users got when the game was first released.
Exactly. And yeah, lots of fun. Very, very big game. Very, you know, one of the interesting things that they do is you've got the regional play. So you and I could have cities in the same region. And I could buy services from you, and you could buy services from me. So, like, the things that you do affect my city. Like, you know, your criminals could come into my city. I'm assuming they'd be your criminals. Of course, they wouldn't be mine.
Of course they'd be my criminals. They're my minions.
Exactly. And there is an organized crime element to the game, too, but that's beside the point. Yeah, it's interesting. It's fun. I haven't done any of the regional stuff myself, but I've watched I've read up on it, and I've watched a bunch of YouTube videos on how it works. I'm still trying to actually be able to make a city that can get past, I don't know, what am I at now? 286,000. That's my biggest city that I've ever made with the new version. But anyway, lots of fun.
Cool.
All right, that's it. Time.
I heard the bell.
Yep.
All right, so next is a cool stuff found that you found, as I recall.
Yes.
The ultimate Mac Mini, or Mini.
Mini Mac.
Mac.
Not to be mistaken for the Mac Mini.
Right. And that's really cool. So some guy took a tiny little processor and got everything set up so that it can run iOS 6. Well, or was it even iOS 6, or was it earlier version?
No, it was Mac OS. It was
Mac OS. Wow. In my head, I was hearing Mac OS.
It was a color version of macOS, wasn't it?
So if it was a color version of macOS, then it had to be at least macOS 7, because that's when they first started introducing color. But anyhow, what they did was they made a 1/3 scale,
yes,
fully functional Mac.
Tiny, tiny, unbelievable detail this guy did. He used a foam that he cut with an X-Acto knife. And there's a SD card slot in the front that looks, you know, it looks like the old floppy slots, you know, and it's got a working display. He's running it on a Linux board, system on a board that is running an emulator that then runs Mac OS. So it's just super, super. Super cool. It's just super fun.
Totally functional.
Yeah, we'll have a link to it. We've got some photos. It's just amazing. It's got an HDMI port on the back, a couple USB ports too. So that's the only part that's not realistic, as it were.
Yeah, but still, the fact that he made a small to scale version of a Mac. That totally works.
Yes.
Oh, there's a bell.
Excellent. All right. So why don't we talk about our sponsor?
Oh, we have a sponsor.
We have a sponsor, Squarespace. These guys are an all-in-one platform for hosting and designing a website. And they're like one of the taglines. I can't remember if this was on the record or not, but I like it so much, I'm just going to say it. One of their taglines was that they want to democratize good design, and that's the kind of thing that can be a hollow bromide for a lot of people. But with this company, it's true because their templates are all just so modern looking. They're so clean. It's a very minimalist aesthetic.
They look really good too. And coming from someone with a graphic design background, for me to say that's saying a lot.
It is a big thing for someone like you to say. So what this company does, you know, it's you sign up for an account, mm-hmm, and you set up your site with these WYSIWYG tools that are easy to use.
Drop dead simple,
and you're good to go. And I've been playing with them. I've been playing with it for, I'm in the process of moving my own blog at geektales.com over to Squarespace because that's how much I like it, and that's saying a lot for me.
Yeah. that actually is. And I like that they have a good selection of templates, mm-hmm. that they all look good. Which is
nice. They've got templates aimed at businesses. They've got templates aimed at portfolios. They've got templates aimed at blogs. And they do e-commerce. So you can sell physical goods and you can sell digital goods if you want. They do credit card transactions through Stripe, which is a third-party clearinghouse. It's just all really, really simple, really, really good looking, and you don't have to know anything about design or HTML or CSS or anything else at all.
Yeah,
so it's all drag and drop,
which is really cool. Plus, if you sign up for a full year, they throw in a domain for free.
Yeah. So here's the deal. They're sponsoring us. We are so excited. This is our first sponsor since we brought the show back in March. And we picked a good month.
Yes, we did.
In September, what they're doing for they sponsor a lot of different podcasts. And what they're doing for all of us is our listeners get 20% off. Normally it's 10%, and this isn't like a, you know, like make the price tag twice as much and then pretend that you're cutting it in half. I mean, like, usually what they offer podcast listeners is 10%. Next month I think it's going to be 10%. This month it's 20%.
20.
So we picked a good month to start. All you have to do is you sign up. By the way, you can do a free trial without a credit card. Right? That's mm-hmm. That to me is really huge. And if you use our code ACM9, it's ACM9.
The number 9.
The number 9. And we'll have that in the show notes. You will get 20% off. If you buy a year at a time, that means you get 20% off for a full year.
Which is awesome.
And it starts at $8 a month for a full year, or $10 a month
if you go month to month.
Right. And you'll get the 20% off of that first month. But, you know, if you do it for the full year, you get it off. You get the 20% off for the full year. And that's obviously a more significant savings.
Yes.
They do site statistics. Their email support. Unbelievably fast.
I've had really good luck with that.
Yeah. I listen, folks, I went through their services with the fine tooth comb for my own blogs so that I could understand it. And I sent them a couple of tech support questions. I got responses in 5 to 6 minutes. 5 to 6 minutes. They have on-site support people in New York City. Or somewhere in New York. I don't know if it's New York City, but it's in New York. And they do live chatting during the week, but their email support is incredibly fast.
That's just fantastic.
It was fantastic. I was seriously impressed. And the only thing I kept thinking was, like, how lucky are we to start our sponsorships off with a company like this? So check them out. Squarespace. You can go to squarespace.com. We've got a link to them in the show notes. And it's ACM9. Get 20% off. Do it.
Sign up.
Let's talk about the Galaxy Gear.
Oh my!
You know
God.
What they should call it?
What? Whatever you're going to come up with, I'm betting we won't have to censor out of the show. Whatever I come up with, we lose our family friendly tag.
Yes, they should call it the Galaxy Fear, because they're just scared to death of what Apple's going to do.
Yeah, you know. When they announced that they're going to make the announcement, which is so Samsung, I was thinking, wow, okay, so they're really trying to jump the gun here and get something, anything on the market before Apple.
Yeah, because they think that we're going to be fooled. Because they think that this somehow means that they're not responding to Apple.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think that they think. They may even think that they can fool themselves that they're not responding to Apple's unannounced iWatch.
Wouldn't it be funny if Apple had been intentionally leaking information about an iWatch just to
watch everybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody else's hand. Yeah, that would actually be entertaining, but I don't think it's the case. I do think the iWatch is coming next year.
Yeah. And, well, geez, at this point, Apple could just put an Apple logo on old wind-up Timex watches and have something that I think would be better than what Samsung
has come up with. Yeah. So check this out. You know how... So what this thing is, it's a smartwatch. It does actually some pretty cool things, but it does them all slowly. And actually, I'm going to quote The Verge, and this matches what I've seen. I haven't seen this thing in person, but watching Engadget. Let's put links in the show notes.
Steve. Yeah, we'll have links in the show notes.
So Engadget did a hands-on video, and like, you know, they're showing the things that you do. And the one thing I kept thinking to myself was, oh my God, I can't believe how slow it is. So, you know, it's a tappable surface that does gestures, and it's got buttons that you activate stuff with, and it's big and it's bulky and it's quite frankly ugliest sin. It's almost good looking.
No, it's not. It's not even almost.
It could be. It could have been good. It could have been.
No.
It could have been. Like, take those screws off. Take those screws off, and it could be. It would be better looking.
Yeah, but that's like saying this pile of crap, because it has some flyer pieces in it, is better looking than this pile of crap that doesn't. God. It's still a pile of crap.
I can't believe you're harsher on this than me. So what Samsung? What The Verge said was, where is lag? Here we go. There's a tangible lag to anything you do with the gear, while the swipe gestures are hard to figure out and do different things depending on where you are in the menus, which is, you know, and it's bulky. It's just big. I have a big watch. I have a large gentleman's timepiece. I like big watches, and I cannot lie, but I do not like this, and I'll tell you why. It's good Lord, it's bad. It's just ugly looking, and it's got a camera on the strap on the side. And I can't imagine actually trying to use that and have something that's actually usable, unless you're like, you know, you're trying to get some kind of creeper shot or something. And it's just, okay. So this device is so emblematic of what separates Apple from Samsung. Steve Jobs and Tim Cook have both talked about that what's important about making a great device is saying no to everything.
And clearly there isn't anyone at Samsung that was saying no.
Correct. They stuck that camera that it looks like a tumor. It looks gross. And I'm not being an Apple fanboy here. I look at this thing. This thing is ugly. It is unattractive. It's gross. It's the kind of thing that I think that few people, once they buy it, will wear after a couple days.
Well, it's big enough and bulky enough that they're going to have to stop wearing it soon or face the potential medical repercussions of having to deal with rotator cuff injuries.
There are some big – that's funny, but there are some big watches.
Yeah, I know. There's some big honking watches out there.
There are big watches.
This thing is just – it is ugly. It is clunky. It has very poor performance, and it is an accessory, and it's an accessory for only a couple of Samsung's other products.
Yeah, I think it's like the Note 3 and
right
some tablet or something.
And my expectation is that when Apple, or if Apple releases their own smartwatch product, that it will operate as a standalone device, but like other Apple products, when used in conjunction with other things they make, becomes even more useful.
Well, and this thing does, I mean, you know, it does a couple things on its own. I mean, I actually like some of the faces, some of the watch faces in particular. I think look really interesting. But let me get back to this camera. This camera sitting on the side is ugly. It looks like a tumor. It looks like a sore, a pustule. It's gross looking. And aside from the fact that I don't think it's going to be very useful, this is the kind of feature that you should have said no to because you can't do it right. And yeah. Samsung didn't say no. Someone at Samsung didn't say no to that. Instead, they said, we can do it, so we should, which is kind of like, you know, something that Samsung does a lot. They like to pile on features as an effort to differentiate their products from the competition. But this is one of those things that someone should have said no to, and it's just awful looking.
Yeah, if Samsung thinks that this is going to steal pretend market share from Apple, they're sorely mistaken.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't understand why Samsung thought this would be a good design to release.
They should have waited until Apple released iWatch, so they would have known what to copy out of the gate.
And they should have waited until they worked out whatever the issues are that makes this thing have poor performance.
In fact, this device is not only a testament to the differences between Apple and Samsung, it is a living testament to the proof that the Samsung has delusions of software relevance, and that anyone who says that Samsung is innovative is dead wrong. The best things that Samsung have ever done have been copies of Apple products, and they didn't know what to copy yet. All they knew is that they needed to have something out there first so that they could pretend like that they weren't copying Apple. And I don't buy it. I don't think anyone else is going to buy it except for some hardcore fanboys. And I would be embarrassed if this was my product. I would be embarrassed by this.
Yeah. And Samsung hasn't learned that it's not about being first to market. It's about being best. And Apple has shown that time and again. They gave us the iPod.
Yep.
Then they gave us the iPhone. Mm-hmm. Then they gave us the iPad. And that's just three examples right there of how Apple was not first to market.
iTunes wasn't first to market. It was the first company. It was the first product to do it right.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And Apple has been very successful waiting and then releasing a product when it's right, as opposed to hoping to get early market share and just lock people in.
Yeah. And there's nothing to lock into. You got to watch the video. Watch the video that Engadget did. And Engadget doesn't mention it, but all I'm thinking of the entire time is how slow some of the gestures are. So some of the things are actually pretty quickly, but like launching S-Voice, which is Samsung's attempt at Siri / Google Voice, or Google Voice Controls. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Anyway, launching that was incredibly slow, and it took button gestures, and the Engadget guy mentions that makes it very bike unfriendly, but it was just slow. Launching the new apps and some of those gestures are just slow. I don't know, man.
See, for a device like that, if you have a sluggish interface, then you're taken out of the experience, and it's no good.
No good. No good. No good.
Yeah.
No good.
And so there you go. That's Samsung's entry into the smartwatch market.
Right.
Well, to be fair, Samsung had a smartwatch entry years ago.
Yeah, the Samsung had a device on the market 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Obviously, it wasn't Android-based. Actually, more than 10 years. Like 15 years ago, 1998.
Yeah,
no one bought it. You know why no one bought it?
Because it was awful. I've seen photos of it. I can't afford the rotator cuff injuries. Or poking my eye out with the antenna.
to be fair, that's 15 years ago.
Nonetheless, I didn't buy one then.
I think the folks at Samsung have somehow convinced themselves that they're innovative.
I think you're absolutely right.
And you know, this, despite the reams of documents that Apple got from Samsung during the discovery process as part of the trial that Apple won here in the States, that where Samsung executives and engineers were saying that if we want our Android smartphones to be more successful, we have to make them look and act more like Apple devices.
And they're right, because they haven't been able to create anything that's truly market changing and truly innovative.
No.
Therefore, they need to do the copy thing.
Right. And they were really successful with that copying. You know, they've largely gotten away scot-free. In fact, there are people out there who say that Samsung is the innovative company and that Apple isn't, which is just mind-boggling to me. But I think that Samsung, this is part of those delusions of software relevance that I've been on about for a while. I think they've given themselves that they can do something, that they can create something really interesting from the ground up. And ain't happening. It's not happening here. It's not happening with this product. This product was ill-conceived, poorly executed.
Yes, I agree completely. It's a really bad design. It was a really bad decision on Samsung's part.
Yeah, all based on, you know, not firsthand observation. I want to be clear on that. I haven't held one on my. I haven't put one on my wrist and used it. I'm only.
I don't know if my arm's big enough.
Yeah, for some reason, Samsung doesn't want me at their events.
That's really weird. I don't get it. I mean, you're a really nice guy.
I am a really nice guy.
I can understand why they wouldn't want me there.
Yeah, I think it's because someone has read the things that I say about them.
Yeah, well, I can see where that might play in on some level.
Yeah. All right, so Galaxy Gear. Oh, prediction, failure, flop, commercial flop.
Yep, I agree, commercial flop.
Yeah. That's my prediction. I don't really feel like it's a bold one either. Let's head out.
Oh, good idea. All right, and that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And if you like our show, head over to iTunes and write a review about us.
Yeah, give us a review. And you can find Jeff on Twitter at jgamet. You can find him on app.net too.
That's right. And you can find me at Fresh Brewed Tales, where we write about what happens in coffee shops. Mm-hmm. And thanks for listening.
And you can see, this is your turn. You see, I.
Oh, and this is where I say. Oh, and you can find Brian on Twitter. His account name is TMO Brian.
With a Y.
With a Y.
Yeah. And app.net at Brian Chaffin, also with a Y. I'm at geektales.com. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week. Thanks to Squarespace for being our new sponsor.
Yes, indeed. And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.